The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
We're going to be looking at the title, Seek. Everybody say, Seek. Okay, please pay attention. I will ask a question shortly, but before we do, I just want to remind us of the anchor scripture. What I want you to always remember, even after you leave today. Our anchor scripture this morning is Jeremiah 29, verse 13, and it says in the NIV translation that you will seek me. Who will you seek? You will seek God. You will seek God and you will find him. I say in this season, you will seek God and you will find him. In the mighty name of Jesus. He says, when you seek me with all your heart. That's the caveat. That's the clause. God says that you will find him. But finding God has to do with you seeking him with what? All your heart. There's a way to seek God. You seek God with all your heart. But what does seeking God with all my heart look like? Because in life, many people look at the world around them without a deeper meaning. They look at the world from a superficial meaning. A lot of people treat things at the surface level. But God is saying to us through this scripture that we need to seek him with all our hearts. Not just with our eyes, but with all our hearts. Okay? So I have here, like I did in the first worship experience, my treasure box. I'm very careful with this. My treasure box. So I brought my treasure box to church. And I'm wondering, why did he bring his treasure box? Who can guess what's in my treasure box? Anybody can guess? Can you guess? You think there's dollar? Somebody said treasure in the morning. So somebody said, in your treasure box, there's treasure. Okay. What? You think there's dollar there? So you don't think I have dollars? Okay. You don't think I have dollars? What else? Gold. What else in my treasure box? If you guess right, I might give you something from it. What's Bitcoin? You can't see Bitcoin physically. What else? Pounds. You are close. Who else? Diamond, platinum, Bible, in my treasure box, and all the blessings seen and unseen. Amen. So, if you were not here in the first worship experience, can I see your hand? Please, you're not here in the first worship experience. Okay, very good. So you're not here in the first worship experience. Can I say it again, please? I need a male. Okay. Were you both here in the first worship experience? You're not here. Okay, please take baby from Oga. Take baby from me. Take baby from him. He's carrying the baby now. Take it from me. Please come. Please come, sir. Let's clap for him as he comes. Let's clap for him. Did you watch it online? So you don't have a spoo? Yeah, come. Come. Let's clap as he comes. Please come up. Come on. Clap. Encourage him now. There you go. So, welcome. How's it going? Okay, there you go. So, this is my treasure box, right? And I want you to open it. Okay. And take out an item and just tell us what you see. Please, careful.
All right.
Take out. You're going to have to do all now. Because in first service, I didn't have time. That's what? Just.
Yeah, I should read it out.
No, you don't have to, but what is that?
It's a treasure.
Is it a treasure?
Yes, it's this.
I thought it was a piece of paper.
No, the words in it.
In it? Yeah. And this guy has a pool. This guy has a pool. Okay, give me back my treasure. Take another one. What's that? Show them and tell them what this is. What's that?
It's a crucifix.
Just put it back. Okay, yeah. What else? Take. You're going to have to bring everything. What's that? Bring it up. I hope you know what that is, though.
Yeah.
What's that?
Hats.
Show them.
And a hat.
Hat, okay.
Yeah.
What else? Show them. What's that?
Key.
A key. Nice key, right?
Yeah.
Color. What color?
Blue color.
Blue, okay. Visible. There's one other one there. Last one. What's that?
God's favorite house. Pendant.
Pendant.
Yeah.
Thank you. Anything else in there?
This.
What's that?
Like a mirror.
Mirror.
Yeah.
Look at yourself. Are you handsome?
Yeah.
Yeah, put my treasure back. just close my treasure box, please.
All right.
Thank you. Let's clap for him. Let's clap for him. He did well. Did well. God bless you, bro. Okay. I'm going to ask Efe, please come. Let's clap for her now. Okay. Did you watch the service online? Eh? Did you watch it online? You didn't? Okay, come. Eh? No expo? Okay. Let's welcome her. Let's welcome her. So Efe, this is really my treasure box, right? And it holds treasure. Before you open it, I want to give you something. I want you to please reflect on the fact that the things in there, right, they hold significance, right? They connect with the things that that make up for life. Spiritually, what do you want to see when you go into a treasure box, right? What do you want to see in relationally? Is there something that you are looking for when it concerns that your plans for life? So with that, I want you to open up this box, right, and tell me what the things inside symbolize, every one of them. So take out the first one.
This is the key of life.
The key of life,
and
hallelujah.
The word of God is the key of life.
The word of God is the key. I thought you were clapping. The key of life, okay. Just put it back, take another treasure.
This is a mirror, and it actually shows how spiritual you are with God.
Mm.
So the mirror is like, it actually reflects your true nature with Christ.
Wow, thank you.
You're a true Christian, you know, so mirror is a reflection of who you are, you know. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The cross, it actually symbolizes the crucifixion of Jesus.
Mm.
And when you think about it, you begin to ask yourself, did Christ die in vain?
Mm.
Was there a reason why he went to that cross?
Hallelujah.
So if you say you are a Christian, what price are you paying in return to prove to God that his crucifixion was not in vain? So what's the price you are paying in return? Are you living righteously? Are you obeying? Are you showing love? There should be a reflection of what you're doing.
Preach it.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
You can read it, even though I stopped him from reading it. Prince, right?
Okay.
Prince, right?
You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29:15. Wow. Seek. Seek is like pursuing, finding. You're looking for something. You're in search of something. So you're actually seeking God. And we can seek God when we use our hearts, not just the eyes. Sometimes, you know, we say so many things.
She's preaching my sermon now. Enough, please. Put my treasure back. Put my treasure back, please.
You have to seek God with all your heart.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay. You got two more, I guess?
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Let's see.
God's favorite house. It's actually showing where you belong. Where do you worship? Where do you anchor? Where do you go to? And this is saying God's favorite house. Are you God's favorite house?
I am. Praise the name of the Lord.
You have to belong somewhere.
And the last
one. So where
one,
do you belong?
I belong to GFH.
Oh, the heart. Heart actually signifies love.
Wow.
Yeah, it says love. And love, you know, Jesus, God gave by loving us. He said he loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So what do we give in return as Christians? Love of God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's clap for Efe. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you, Efe. You did very well. No. Leave my treasures. Thank you. God bless you. Okay, so I have a gift for you, FAPs, which is, okay, there you go. Thank you for participating. Prince, you can come and have one as well. Thank you. And clap for them now. Don't worry, I'll call you next time. And then for Mrs. J and Daniel, we also have for you as well. You can pick it up after service. God bless you guys. Okay, so caveat, I knew that if we had allowed Prince, he would have unveiled all the treasure because that guy is not an ordinary man. The guy's eyes are trained to see treasure. But you see, in a sense, someone like we did in the first service, I mean, I didn't have to guide Daniel. When he came, and no spite to Daniel, he saw what was in the box. He saw a piece of paper. He saw a cross. He saw a mirror. He saw, what did you call the archip? A pendant. He saw a pendant. He saw, and all those things, right? But when FA came, just like Mrs. J came, and I believe Prince would have done, they saw with their heart. What they were looking at wasn't just the object itself. They were looking at how to interpret the object, which is how God wants us to engage, even in this season. How do you interpret the things that are around you? What do they symbolize to you? What do relationships you have symbolize to you? What do the things in your life, what symbol do they carry? The treasure box was the same for the guy that looks at it with the eye of the superficial eye and the person that looks at it with the heart. It's pretty much the same. The only difference there is that the one that looks at it with the heart finds meaning in it. So what's the point? The point is seeking with the heart transforms ordinary experiences to extraordinary revelations. Every time you seek with your heart, you take something that is just ordinary, something that is just a mundane thing, and you turn it into an extraordinary revelation. Some of us, we are looking at the relationship in our lives with very ordinary eyes, and that's why the relationships have become ordinary. You wake up and your spouse is just your spouse. It's just Baba this or Mama that. Nothing else. Never lose your awe of the people God has placed in your life. Never lose your awe of the things that God has placed in your life. Hallelujah. If you are clapping on the Lord. Right? You see, one of the things I've come to realize when I think about the scripture, the reason why the elders fall and rise and they say the same thing again is because every time they raise their head, they see their awe changes. A different Jesus in a different light. But many of us grow familiar with our Jesus. You come to the church where, because Jesus doesn't hold the cane and say, why are you scrolling on Instagram in church? And he flocks your back. Pwah! You just be scrolling while you're in his presence. Meanwhile, if you're in the presence of president of Nigeria, you will, you know, if you want to cough, you will swallow your cough. If you want to sneeze, thank God we don't have a father that's holding a sledgehammer over our heads. Hallelujah. But many of us just see with the superficial. Can I challenge you, especially in this season, as we begin to wait on the Lord from tomorrow, our 21 days fast, even though you have fasted two other times this year already, but please don't go into this fast with the same conditions. Seek God wholeheartedly. Don't go into this fast with the conventional. The scripture we read, amen, put it back up. See me, put it up back, scripture 29, James, Jeremiah 29, verse 30, says, seek him with all your heart. Because seeking him with all your heart is what leads to finding. That's how you find. So while seeking may involve actively searching, it should also reflect the internal openness and readiness of your inner man to discover that thing that you are seeking after. Your inner man has to cooperate, has to be open to the possibility that, you know what, I've done many God do against fasts in the past, but this one I know is different. This one is different. Okay, you know what, God has been blessing you in the past, but don't get familiar and say, okay, he blesses me like this. This one is different. This one is different for you in Jesus' name. So seeking God, to truly seek him, would mean that you have to be determined. Seeking God, truly seeking God, demands determination. It demands effort. It demands faith and a clear objective. Please, have you set an objective for this fast? You should have an objective for this fast. We are coming to the God of covenant. What is your objective? What is that one thing that you're saying, God, put everything else on top? And when I say that, I'm not just talking about money. Money is good. Money answers to many things. But there's something that you need to put before God and say, put all those things on top of it. Because if money is the only thing that you are seeking after, you have missed it. I was sharing the first worship experience that sometimes people are so superficial that you're saying money, and then you're saying, God, this is what I, just give me a man that has money. You are looking for a man. You are not seeking after a man. Because if the man can, he can have all the money in the world, but he's a batterer, and you get into a relationship with that man, he will give you all the money, but he will batter you. Some of us are looking into relationships and are saying, the man has a big car. And because of the big car, you follow the man. And guess what? That might be the only big car that guy will ever buy. Or you see a woman with a fine face and you say she's pretty, but her attitude stinks. And then you get into a relationship and they are saying, oh, she brings out the worst in you. Who said so? Who put the worst in you there in the first place? If she can bring it out, it means that he already existed there. So we don't judge by just looking with the sight of our eyes or with the hearing of our ears. So some of us in this season, what you need to seek is knowledge. Maybe that's what you need to build everything else on top. You need to come to a place where you're saying, God, I want to be able to know, like we prayed, that make your ways known to me. Let me know how you operate so that I can align with you. So whether you're seeking a solution to a problem, whether you're seeking happiness, like that amazing ministration from the true worshipers, you know, whether you're seeking healing for a child, whether you're seeking a job, or you're seeking a raise in your salary or a promotion in your job place, it has to come from the heart. If you want to have a spiritual experience that is different from what you have been used to, it has to come from a place where you don't judge it by your eyes, but your heart connects to it. So from our demonstration this morning, it is obvious that seeking is in a spiritual sense, will be impossible if all you do is use your eyes. If you use only your eyes, you will miss that which God is doing. Why? Because the eyes doesn't seek. Your eye does not seek. It is your heart that tells your eyes what to seek. Your eye never seeks. It is your heart that tells your eyes what to seek. And when your eyes eventually seek what the heart is craving for, the heart becomes gratified. In other words, when the eyes behold the things that he has told the heart to seek, the heart comes into that place of deep satisfaction and joy. And I was sharing the first worship experience that was what happened to, in Genesis 2, God had said before now that it is not good for man to be alone. God is interesting. And he began to make, it says he formed from the soil every kind of animal. God is interesting. Man, you cannot be alone. He started making animals to test him. Adam saw peacock. He didn't say, my wife, tolo, tolo. No. He saw monkey. Ooh, ah, ah. He didn't say this monkey. There's some very fine monkeys. Have you seen the fine monkey before? I've seen. Those ones that have red ears. Fine monkey. They are cute, right? He said no. He didn't see all those animals and call any of them his wife. God said, this guy is getting it, right? You know, because Adam's heart was seeking something. Now, don't gloss over that scripture. Go back and read it like the children of Berea, right? He said that they always will go back and research to see whether that thing that Pastor Richard was saying is correct. Listen, Adam was clothed with the glory of God. Adam didn't have a mirror. Adam didn't know what he looked like or what the person that he was looking for actually looked like. But he knew what that person was looking for. He knew what he was seeking for. So God says, sleep. And when Adam woke up, he brought Eve to Adam. And Adam said, at last, this is what my heart has been looking for. He said, finally. You know, I look up and I'll say, eh-heh. Adam was seeking with his heart. He knew that Eve, this one, is the solution to that thing that is missing, my life. I pray in the name of Jesus that the Lord would cause your heart to open up in the name of Jesus, that you'll be able to see that thing that you are looking for in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So to seek without the heart is to undertake a journey that is devoid of true passion, meaning, and authenticity. It is a fake journey. And you know that it is the heart that fuels curiosity. And that's why we love children. The reason why children are able to see and receive is because children don't just look. They seek. And I was sharing the first worship experience that because children seek, they always kind of get. If your baby wants to go, when I mean go, do number two, she doesn't say, I'm shy. She will caca where she is. Has anybody seen a shy baby before? Say, where my diaper? I don't want you to see me. Where my diaper? No. Nobody. There's not a shy baby. They seek. Their curiosity is what fuels the things that they do. And God is actually saying to us that which you have that curiosity, you come to God saying, you know what? I seek to have more of you. You are my Father. I lay Pada, the unchangeable one that is able to give you beyond what you can think, ask, and imagine. So when you don't seek with your heart, it is called, a weak experience. You have a weak heart, and then you struggle to inspire, to drive, and to explore or discover deeper meanings. And what would be the result of that? It means that all your experiences will be shallow experiences. I pray that your experiences will not be shallow experiences in Jesus' name. I say, I pray that your experiences will not be devoid, they will not be void of transformative power in the mighty name of Jesus. So, what is the question here we're trying to answer? The question is, how should we seek? What should be our posture in this season as we begin to wait on the Lord, as we begin to seek? I came up with an acronym called HOPE. We should seek with hope. Everybody say hope. And H stands for humility. You seek with humility. The O stands for openness. You seek with openness. Be open. And the P stands for perseverance. You have to be in that place where you say, I will see it through. And the E stands for engagement or mindfulness. That I'm mindful. I have an overwhelming awareness that God is in this thing and is in this place. So we'll run through them real quickly. The posture of humility will help you recognize that there's always more to learn. You don't know it all. You have to have room for learning. There has to be something about you that says that I am available, I am teachable. You can pour some more into me. Why? Because a full vessel can never receive. If you try to pour into a full vessel, what happens? Wastage. And I was sharing again in the first worship experience that's the reason why I personally don't really waste my time with people that cannot receive from me. And you should not waste your time too. When you see people that cannot receive from you, just move on. Leave them. Leave them. Don't beat yourself too much about people that cannot receive from you. It's wastage. So the surest way to growth is accepting your limitations. If you want to grow, accept your limitations. I love the popular adage that says that when the student is ready, what will happen? The teacher will show up. When the student is ready, the teacher will show up. And in the Bible tells us in Psalm 25, verse 9, in the Amplified Classic, that he leads the humble in what is right. And the humble, he teaches his way. God will teach you his way in Jesus' name. Because your heart of humility will be before him. The proud God resists. God will not resist you in Jesus' name. So the posture of seeking in this season is the posture of humility. Because when you come with humility, God says yes. Yes. He's ready. You can pour some more into him. Even if he had some before, pour more into him to the overflow. God will pour into you in the mighty name of Jesus. The posture of openness. Like children, embrace curiosity. Be willing to explore new ideas, new perspective. Your perspective is not the only perspective. And embrace new experiences without prejudice or preconceived judgment. And I was saying that if General Naaman wasn't curious, he would have missed out on the opportunity to go and know his housemaid's God. Because he said, there is a God in Israel that can heal you of leprosy. And Naaman said, is that so? It struck his curiosity and he went after it. Otherwise, he would have died a leprotic general. He would have died with his disability. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and the gift is yours. Seek and you will discover. Let's say that again. Seek and what? You will discover. If you are not discovering, means that you are not seeking yet. You might be looking, but are you really seeking? It says, knock and the door will be open. If Peter, in Acts 10, was adamant and was all fixed on his own religion, his laws, he would have missed out on the opportunity to encounter Cornelius and let the gospel spread even to the Gentiles. God said to Peter, I'm not going to go into that, just go back and read Acts 10. He said, kill, eat. Peter said, but I'm not used to this. But you know what, God, I'm open to what you can do. I pray that you'll be open in Jesus' name. That you'll be open in the mighty name of Jesus. David was open to the point that when he saw, Papi has taken us to 1 Samuel 30 verse 8, but if you read the entire 1 Samuel 30, you see that David was robbed. And David wanted to get everything that was taken from him and even much more. And David, God gave him the authority to go. But David, God did not tell him what he would see on the way. David saw a boy that was left to die. If it's on people, they will kill the guy. Many of us are killing the things that should give us our solution. We're killing the relationship that should give us our solution. We're thinking they are insignificant. David said, no, don't kill him. That guy will know where my family is. And he says, give him food. Don't look down on people. Be open. He says, feed him, not turn him back to life. And the moment the guy was not turned back to life, he said, did you see them? He said, yes. He pointed David in the right direction. Don't close the door to the things that can point you in the right direction. God will give you the wisdom to be able to unearth the things that will point you in the right direction in Jesus' name. The posture of perseverance. We must persevere. Understand that seeking sometimes, I know, can be tedious. It can be long. It can be demanding. Because for each and every one of us here, our seasons of seeking, they differ. We're sharing again in First Worship Experience that for some people, your seeking can be a commodity crop kind of seeking. Your tomato. Pastor Kim, how long does it take for tomato destination? 3 months? 3 months. In 3 months, God has done. Maybe your own is a 1 week. Pastor Kim was sharing with us how chickens that used to take forever, now they engineer them, the egg has come every day. But there are some people that their own perseverance will have to be like a cash crop kind of perseverance. Even though agri engineering has come to cash crop, but cocoa that takes 5 years will still take about 3 years. Cotton that takes 4 years will still take about 2 years. Imagine you are the cotton farmer. You still have to wait. You still have to persevere. You still have to wait through your seeking season. The scripture says to us that let us not be weary in doing good. For at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. If you do not give up. So if the setbacks come, if the obstacles come, you are saying, I don't give up. That's how your harvest comes. Let's read that in the Passion Translation. It says, and don't allow yourself to be weary in planting good seeds for the season of reaping. Everybody said the season of reaping. And this is your season of reaping. Amen. It says the season of reaping, the wonderful harvest you have planted is coming. I say your season of reaping has come. Your season of reaping has come. You don't believe it. I say your season of reaping has come. In the name of Jesus. Seeking requires perseverance, even though it may seem elusive. But don't grow weary in planting, so to speak, for your season of reaping has certainly come. And sometimes it is the expectation of other people that causes us to miss our season of harvest. We go weary of seeking because you know what? At 40, everybody else is married. I'm not married. I'm tired, Lord. And then begin to look and settle less. And like I said, maybe for that person, they say, you know what? This man is fine. I follow him. Or this woman is fine. I follow her. God wants you to continually seek. Seeking is like planting. because you know your harvest will come. Everybody else seems to be living comfortable or in a comfortable place because they are doing all kinds of crazy things. They are saying, even me, I'm tired. Maybe I should just, God saying to us this morning, continually to seek me and you will find me. Don't conform to the culture of the world. You will not conform to the culture of the world in the mighty name of Jesus. And one of the most dangerous places to be is a place where you pursue the expectations of other people. Pursuing the expectations of other people because they feel like this is how you should have done it or should do it is the most dangerous thing because we are all unique. Praise the name of the Lord. The posture of engagement, mindfulness. Being mindful will help you connect better with God. Because why? God has the final say on all our experiences and insights. Psalm 46 verse 10a says, let be and be still and know and recognize and understand that I am God. Be still, know that he is God. So after all the seeking, the one that has the final say is God. It's when he decides that it happens. So I'd rather stay with him. My time is not in my hands. My time is in his hands. Praise the name of the Lord. So what should we seek in this season as we begin to wait on God? What should we seek in this season? We'll run through five things. Number one, seek first the kingdom of God and his way of doing things. Seek first God's kingdom. Popular scripture, Matthew 6:33, we read it in the Passion Translation, says, so above all, constantly seek God's kingdom and his righteousness, then all these less important things. So he didn't say they are not important. He only says that compared to what you are seeking, they are less important. So if it is a house you are seeking, it's less important to God's own agenda. If it's a car, it is less important. If it is a house, if it's money, if it's a spouse, if it is children, you've been married for so long, 10 years, no children. God says, continue to make my agenda your priority. God is saying, I'm not saying children are not important. After all, he says they are a heritage. They are a reward from me. The one that's able to reward you says, make my agenda priority. Make my agenda priority. Seek his agenda in your relationships. Meaning, when I want to go into a relationship, I seek God's agenda in it. Seek his agenda in your finances. Seek his agenda in your business, in your career, in your service. And I debunked a claim. Many times when we go to church, we say, I am going to service, right? Guys, everyone, right? When you're going to church, you say, I'm going to service, correct? Am I wrong? Nobody, I'm going to service. No. Henceforth, don't say, I am going to service. Say, I'm going to serve. Even though you are not a worker in God's house yet. But you are going to serve. When you go to serve, when you go with that mindset, with that perspective, you open up yourself to opportunities. That even though I'm not serving as a worker, but I'll be able to serve someone today. Maybe with a smile. Maybe with a conversation. Maybe I'll be able to see their need. I'll be able to see beyond their physical. Because remember, it is the heart that seeks. It is the heart that seeks. And you know what? Really, I was also saying that if you are looking for fault, you will also find it. Right? Because it says seek and you will find, isn't it? So if you are looking for fault in people, you must find it. And the reason why many of us have very terrible relationships is because all you are looking for is fault. They are funny. They look like this. They talk like this. They act like this. So no wonder your relationship is everywhere because all you can see your heart is seeking for is the fault in the other person. God is saying concerning your relationships, interaction with people, seek my agenda first. Jesus loves people. Jesus did not tolerate nonsense, but Jesus loved people. Jesus believed in people. Do you believe in people? Praise the name of the Lord. So David said that I need to build a temple for the Lord's ark. God said no. That was David's heart. God says no. Because you have said you want to build me a temple, I will build you a throne. Because David said, I will put God's agenda first. God said, I will give you a throne. This is the principle of divine priority. And David knew that secret. So the question is, are there areas in your life that you're not seeing what you say you seek? maybe it's time for you to change your priorities. Change your priorities. Tweak it a bit. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what is God's priority to him in this situation and follow through. And I can assure you, once you find God's priority, your answers will come. Then you will come back and testify. Find God's priority, the answer will come, and you come back and testify in Jesus' name. Amen. Number two, seek God's thoughts. Seek God's thoughts. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14 to 16 in the Message translation tells us that the unspiritual self, just as it is by nature, can't receive the gifts of God's Spirit. And we're saying the first worship experience, we're grateful to everyone that committed his life to God. Let's just clap unto the Lord for every time that he draws people. Because he says that no one comes to him unless he draws them close. But I'm saying to you, and if you are here, you also have an opportunity. Because why? This is it. He's saying to you that the unspiritual self, just as it is by nature, can't receive the gifts of God's Spirit. God has spirit he wants to give to you. But you have to be in his mold. If you want to harness all God has for you, and you know that you are not born again, you can't go back the same way you came. You are cheating yourself. You have an opportunity when that call is made to put up your hands too, if possible, raise your leg. Don't look at anybody. And say, Jesus, I need you. He says, there's no capacity for them. So it's not like God is not able to give, but there's no capacity to receive because you're not plugged in. He says, they seem like so much silliness. Spirit can be known only by spirit. The things of God can be known only by the one that is connected to God. God's spirit and our spirit in open communication. God's spirit and my spirit in open communication. Do you see that? Spiritually alive, we have access to everything. Papi has taken us through that. The things that are available to God, that are available in God, that should be available to man. We have access to everything. It says God's spirit, you have access to everything God's spirit is doing and can't be judged by unspiritual critics. Go to the last part. It says Isaiah's question. Once upon a time, Isaiah was saying, can anyone know the heart of God? Is there anyone around who knows what God's spirit is saying or doing? Is there anyone that knows, can discern God's way? It says that we already have the answers. He said that question has been answered in Christ. Christ knows. And you have the Spirit of Christ. Hallelujah. You have the Holy Spirit, so you have the Spirit of Christ. So you can know what Christ wants for you. You can know his thoughts. You can actually ask him, Jesus, what are you thinking? What are you saying? What do you want to do in this situation? Say, I have the mind of Christ. Because the mind of Christ is the highway. It's the highway, not this highway. Lekki Ekpe is not the highway. It's the mind of Christ as the highway. So what happens is that because Christ is the highway, you will always go the highway. When they want to bring you to the low way, you say, I'm not going there. Christ's way is the highway. They hurt me, but I don't hold them in unforgiveness. That is Christ's way. It's the highway. Hallelujah. They offended me, but I'm not looking to get back at them. Why? Because that is not Christ's way. That is the low way. Christ's way is that I forgive them. Christ's way is that I love them. Christ's way is that I pray for them. He said it. Forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Still praying for them. Christ's way is that I serve them. Christ's way, he came, bring your smelly feet. I want to wash it as a leader. You are saying I'm the boss around here. You are my subordinate. Don't they know? As I come to the office, everybody should be shaking. That's not the Christ way. That's not the highway. That's the low way. Or I have a maid or a house help in the house. Don't they know? That's the low way. The Naaman, for some reason, must have caught it in the spirit to know that I can listen to the housemaid. Some of us, those people don't even have access to even laugh where you are. That's the low way. God is calling us to the highway. Everybody say the highway. And one of my own hacks, personal hacks, when it comes to redirecting my thoughts to the highway from the Georgia pit. Again, I said for this kind of teaching, I don't need to go into the Georgia pit. The Georgia pit is just it's a psychological analysis for what causes us to be overly critical about people and about ourselves, right? We use it in coaching. If you want to get out from that overly critical mindset, that judgment pit, right? One of the hacks that I use, I get it from Philippians 4:8, and it's just a simple formula. It is THR, same, I put it up, plus PLA plus EW equals the flourishing mind. If you want your mind to flourish, you always want to be on the highway. It is THR plus PLA equals to plus EW equals to the flourishing mind. T there stands for whatever things that are true, whatever things that are honorable, whatever things that are right, only the pure things, the things that are loving, the things that are admirable. It says if they are excellent and worthy of praise, fix your mind on those things. Stop fixing your mind on people's faults. Stop fixing your mind on the judgment. Stop looking at yourself like someone that does not deserve good things. Say, I deserve great things. Come on, say it. Say, great things happen to me. Please leave it up. What is true? What does Jesus say about you? He says you are saved. He says you are loved. What are the honorable things? When you open up your phone and you remember that your mind should be fixed on honorable things, you close it up. What is right? What is pure? What is loving? What is admirable? When you fix your thoughts on those things, excellent and worthy of praise, you will hardly find yourself in the low way. You will always be in the highway. And I pray for you that you will always be in the highway in Jesus' name. So number one, you seek what? Come on, say it now. Let's say it together. Seek first and make him what? His way of doing this is make him a priority. Number two, seek God's thoughts. Number three, seek to recognize God, good, recognize good in other people. Seek to recognize good in other people. Seek to recognize God in other people. Romans 12, verse 10 says that be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Everybody say second fiddle. Practice playing second fiddle. And I'll share in first worship experience that the concept of the second fiddle is a very interesting one. Where in a concert, in an orchestra, there's a musician called the second fiddle who says that my role is to be subordinate to your role. There's the first fiddle is the guy that plays the melody, the one that everybody sees. But the second fiddle is the one that plays behind the scene, that harmonizes what the one that is playing the melody plays. Without the second fiddle, the melody will sound like a confused sound to you. So the second fiddle's job is to make the melody guy just look good. That's his job. And behind the scenes, all I'm doing is making you feel good. And it looks like such a demeaning position to be. But God is saying that we should be comfortable, it's in his word, playing second fiddle to other people. I said in first worship that one of the most profound things that Papi has ever told me is that when you serve the purpose of other people will serve your purpose. It will come a time. So some of us are in organizations who are playing second fiddle. I was saying, oh, how can I be playing second fiddle to my boss? Guess what? Your second fiddle is preparing you for your own melody. Hallelujah. Because everything you are going through in playing second fiddle is preparing you for the day when you will be the one to do the melody. And you are looking back. Why are they not playing second fiddle to me? Because remember that what you sow is what you reap. So if you are confusing their sound, what happened to your sound? Abadabidi. Confused sound. So it's such an interesting concept. And in the scripture is filled with people that were saying, we are comfortable playing second fiddle. Jonathan said to David, you go be king. I know that God has graced you for kingship. I'm just going to be here to support you. Even if my father thinks otherwise. In fact, it's that crazy. It's crazy. It's mad anyway. I'm just going to support your vision. I'll play the second fiddle. And when, what I didn't mention first, that when it was time, even though Jonathan was out of the picture, David said, is there nobody in Jonathan's house I can bless for that guy that played a second fiddle? David remembered. God will remember you in the name of Jesus. Scripture is saying to us, enhance the performance of others. Support them. Make their presentation more glamorous, even if it means that for a season you will not be recognized. Does this mean that God is a mean and sadistic? He wants us to be low while other people are above always. No, that's not what God is saying. Does God want you to slink into obscurity? No, that's not what God is saying. God is saying to you that when you are playing second fiddle, remember that I am the rewarder. I see you in that place. I remember a story because Pastor K has shared it over and over again. When he used to work in the bank and he was playing second fiddle to a boss, he will bring forth a solution. The boss will remove his signature, right? And put his own signature, the boss's signature, every time. And he got to a place where he said, let me paraphrase, I'm tired of playing second fiddle. And goes to the overall boss and say, I'm tired of this. And the boss said, don't you know we know that it is you that has been doing the work all along? We see you. Now, let's go to scripture. It says in Colossians 3, verse 23 and 24. Listen to this, guys. It says, whatever things you are doing, do them well. Remember, you are serving the Lord. You are not only serving people. You are not serving people. You know that you will receive the good things that the Lord has promised to his people. He will give you. God will give you. He will give you what is right for you. Amen. I said God will give you what is right for you. He says the Lord Jesus Christ is the master that you serve. It is said that you need to get to a place where my goal is to make my boss look good. I saw that somewhere. My goal is to make my boss look good. I'm comfortable playing second fiddle because God is the master I serve. So when I serve God, it is God that will reward me, even though it's a man I'm giving that service to. When they bring a business to me, an opportunity, I do the business like, you will pay me, but God will reward me. Hallelujah. You will pay me, but God will reward me. Because how much can they really pay compared to God's reward? So even if I give them the best and they don't pay me as they ought to do, guess what? Have I lost? No. God will reward me. I said, God will reward you. Amen. So when I say God will reward me, you didn't say amen. God will reward you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. And number four, seek to discern. So let's take it from the top. Number one, seek first God's kingdom and his way of what? Come on, let's say it together. Number two. Number three. Amen. Recognize good in other people because God has good in other people. Don't know no man after the flesh. And number four, seek to discern. Seek to discern. Discernment is what we hear every time. Discernment. What is discernment? It's simply deeper insight and understanding of people, places, situations, events, things that can neither be taught or caught academically. You can't teach someone discernment. You can impact someone with the spirit of discernment. You can emulate, you can say, I covet that spirit of discernment in someone. But someone, they can't put you like in a class and say, this is how you discern, A, B, C, no. It's not caught or taught academically. It is based on, it can't be based on experience and tutelage. It is based on the spirit of God. Discernment comes by seeking God's heart in an issue. And one of the interesting parts about discernment that it usually will not make sense in the physical until the time of results. How does it make sense that we go without food for 3 weeks and we're looking scrawny and emaciated? When people say, ah, you they sick? Eat now. And I don't know why these are fast knowledge force in a time when there's party. Every time. And then I'll go out. So sometimes I abandon parties. But there's some clients, some people that you have to go to their events. And when you come, one guy said, you cannot make it. No. This is not right. I mean, true story. Someone said that to me. So we went out. We had lost one of our friend's older brother, very prominent guy, one of the most wealthy men in Nigeria. So I went for the funeral because I had to travel. So when we finished, they said we should go to the house, the man's house, sprawling edifice. When we got there, remember in the afternoon they were eating. I didn't eat. I didn't know this guy was observing me. In the evening, they chop. I not chop. At night, we're there till like 10 o'clock. Now they were now drinking drinks. He said, no, give her alcohol. Give her wine, you know. He said, no, you cannot make it. What's going on? Now you killed the man. But I go through the season. And God does it for me. Boom. He will not be there. He will only see the results. So discernment, most times, at the planting stage, will not make results. But when the result comes, you'll be like, wow, thank God that I descend right. A classic example will be David in 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17, I'm not going to read it, go back and read it. David had showed up before the king, his excellence, his diligence had brought him before the king. And now David is before the king. King says, this is my problem. David, you say you can solve it? David said, yes. How? David said, because I killed bear, I killed lion. King said, David, are you sure? David, you will die. Oh. David said, forget. God is with me. King says, okay. David, you are the man for the job. Give David my armor to go to war. Many times the scripture is filled with secrets. Do you know what it is to be given the king's armor? It's prestigious. It is such an honor to be given the king's armor. David could have said, wow, I get to wear the king's armor. Eliab, woo! You shame his brother and show out with the king's armor, feeling like I've arrived. Many times it's the promotion that they give to us that wipes people out. May God's promotion not wipe you out in Jesus' name. David had just been promoted, prestigious. But David discerned that, you know what, I cannot fight with this armor. David said, I have not proved it. I have not discerned that this thing can work. But I know what works because I have proved it. It is a sling and five stones. I pray that God will make his ways known to you in Jesus' name. You'll be able to discern how to fight your battles. You'll be able to discern how to lock your victory in the name of Jesus. David discerned that this promotion this man is giving me, if I'm not careful, will wipe me out. God's promotion will not wipe you out in Jesus' name. And David chose five stones and a sling. And like we know, you say, the rest is history. David brought Goliath down with five stones and a sling. David did not try to enter someone else's mold. A lot of people fail to discern times and seasons. Failure to discern times and seasons will rob you of your destiny. Failure to discern relationships will cause some people's 40 days journey to become 40 years. May your journey not be elongated in Jesus' name. May you not be stagnated in the mighty name of Jesus. The Israelites failed to discern that it was God's time for them to enter into the promise. And when the window of opportunity closed, it was too late. They had to linger for 40 years. You will not linger in the place of suffering in the mighty name of Jesus. So many times, we discern people the moment they open up their mouth and start to speak. So that is my own personal hack. When I struggle to be able to tell what God is saying about a relationship or a person or a situation, a transaction, I just wait for things to unfold. When they open up their mouth, you will know. Proverbs 17:28 says in the Message version, Proverbs 17:28, that even dunces who keep quiet are taught to be wise as long as they keep their mouth shut. So sometimes all you have to do is just be patient. Wait for them to speak, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will always speak. Out of the abundance of the heart. You don't know what they are thinking. Wait for them to speak. But you have to wait. That's seeking. You don't know what they are planning to do. Wait. They are doing a transaction. Everybody's smiling right now. Just wait. You will soon tell. All they have to do is open up their mouth. And when they open up their mouth, please believe them. I heard that from my wife. Our coach says to her that when people show you who they are, believe them. If they are talking in one direction, believe them. Oh, believe them. Your relationship with a guy, he's saying he wants to marry you, but every time, every now and then, he's dropping a swear word. What the is this? What the is that? You enter that marriage, it's full blown. They will wake you up with cuss words. I watched a terrifying video during the week about a guy, prominent guy in an organization, trying to kill his wife with different things. Maybe some of us watch it. Money's there. So she probably, in that relationship, because they got married, the guy will say some things. She'll say, he's just bad tempered. God forbid. Believe them when they show you who they are. God will help you discern in Jesus' name. Everybody say, you must discern. You must discern. And number five, finally, seek to see God glorified. Everybody say, God glorified. Remember we said that it's the heart that tells the eyes what it is looking for. So seek to see God glorified. Where? In all things. Seek God glorified in all things. Seek God glorified in all places. In church, at work, at home. Seek the glory of God. Rather than seek to win, seek the glory of God. What does it profit you to win and the glory of God is not in it? Think about it. What does it profit you to win and the glory of God is not in it? Seek the glory of God in relationships, in conversations. Okay, you won the argument, but God is not in it. You do win. That's not a win. The win is that God's name is glorified. Even when it seems like it's not going my way, yes, especially when it seems like it's not going your way. But if God's name is glorified, then you have won. John the Baptist, classic example. All his disciples have started following Jesus. And John's disciples are saying to John, ah, Oga, are you not concerned? All your disciples are following that man, Jesus. And John says this, profound. John 3:30. He says in John 3:30 that he must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. God glorified in a situation I'm comfortable. What will glorify God in your business? What will glorify God in your relationships? What will glorify God in your marriage? In your children's life? Seek to see God glorified. Even though it's not going my way, seek to see God glorified. Don't be focused on winning at the expense of seeing God go less and less. Seek to see God glorified. Don't win a conflict or a position at the expense of Jesus becoming less and less. Why? Because he must increase and I must decrease. Can we say that together? Jesus must increase and I must decrease. Come on, let's say it. Say it like you mean it. Jesus must increase and I must decrease. There's a song that I heard once. It says, I can see clearly now at your feet. Think about that. At the feet of Jesus is where you see clearly. Meaning, when I am bowed down, it's when I see clearly. I thought it's when you lift your head, you see clearly. When I am bowed down at Jesus' feet, that's when things are clearer. I can see clearly. It's by William McDowell. I can see clearly now, here at your feet. Seek to see Jesus glorified. So we're in the season of waiting, season of fast. What is your overarching desire? Maybe for some of us, your priority list, I just want some money. There's a contract you'll be waiting for. There's a land, there's a this, there's a that. The question is it solely for the purpose of Jesus being glorified? Why do you want to hammer? Why do you want that money you've been praying to God for? Is it for Jesus to be glorified? Why do you want to jackpot? Is it for Jesus to be glorified? Can we please bow our heads right now? Just bow our heads, focus on Jesus, every one of us. Bow your head. We've said a lot this morning. You're here and you know that you need to come to God this morning, the posture of humility, and seek restoration with him. Like we said in the beginning, this is the point where you raise your hands up. You are saying to him, I need you. I'm seeking you with my all. This is that time. Because you know that you cannot live here the same way you have come. Otherwise, your experiences will be ordinary. God is calling you to a higher relationship with Him. You are saying, I need you. I want to surrender to you this morning. Oh, Mahatakasi. And the rest of us, we're going to pray, but let's just worship. Be glorified. Talk to God. Pastor Faye will come up soon and tell you what to do next. Matakati and the Rebo Shatala Dali and the Sataka.
Be glorified
in the heavens.
Be glorified in the heavens.
And the Sianda and the Bahazata.
Be glorified in the earth.
Masheketo celebrate the Dalia Santa.
Be glorified in this temple.
I say the Kadashian do Hataya.
This temple, Lord.
Be glorified, say the Lord, be glorified in this temple. In your being, not the physical building.
Be thou glorified.
So you help us with that song at the background. So for the rest of us, we're going to say, Father. Say, Father. I choose to seek you with my all heart. Help me focus on the treasure that matter the most in this season. In the mighty name of Jesus, just pray to him. Ask him to help you focus on his love, his presence, the things that causes him to be glorified in the name of Jesus. Mane kasa degedo bragata shatala. Manya sete kahati anda. Oredo lelia shakazata yelema hanele bobo shatani asanta.
This season I choose to seek you, O God. In the name of Jesus, I choose to seek you with my whole heart. This season, let's lift up our voices and cry out unto God. That this season that we're entering into will not just come and go like as if and nothing will change. But this season we will seek you, we will find you in the mighty name of Jesus. Because I will seek you with my whole heart. In the name of Jesus. My inner heart, Iba Halakata. Thank you, everlasting God. And so shall it be in the mighty name of Jesus. I want to pray with those of you that have chosen to give your life to Christ. I just want to say after me, Father, I come before you this morning as a sinner, and I need your help. I accept that you died for me. I confess with my mouth that you are my Savior. Help me from now on. As I've made this decision today, help me to make it a permanent decision. Let my life be transformed from now onwards. Let your name be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Father in heaven, we are just so grateful. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your son that has come to deliver your word to us. Father, thank you, Father, for all you have done. Thank you for the things we have learned this morning. We are grateful. Father, we pray that the grace to be able to plug into that which you have proposed for us, give to us in the name of Jesus. Help us the next coming weeks, Lord, help us to seek you with all our hearts. Help us to seek you spirit, soul, and body. In the mighty name of Jesus, let your name be glorified, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.